again, you know, I pee very fast too. And, you know, like my husband is like, whoa. Hi, I'm Lee. I was asked what I did today, and I realized that it was kind of nothing. Well, not completely nothing. I went to the gym, but then I just sat on my bed and did nothing. And I will excuse it by kind of regaining my strength and speech powers for this podcast. So I'm a very good guest. So welcome to the first podcast with me, Lee, the now energized and power regained animator, writer, podcaster, guest who did nothing today. That's me.
And thank you for joining us.
Hi.
We really appreciate you being here today.
I appreciate being here too.
My name is Joe. I'm going to be the co-host today. And with me, as always, we have Lars.
Hi, Lars.
And so you sort of talked about it a little bit, but for those of the audience who don't know who you are, what you do.
Wait. No. Let's get right into it. You were talking about how you had a poop grievance.
Yes, I do. An American poop grievance. So yeah, before this started, because, you know, we kind of started chatting before because we wanted to become good friends for this podcast, we started talking about how I'm not from the U.S. actually. Well, I was born in New York, but I lived in Israel most of my life, and I moved here about 4 years ago to pursue my dreams, like everyone who comes over here. And I noticed that you guys are not well when it comes to food. I mean, LA is kind of fine. I live in LA now, but in general, it's just, yeah, people aren't eating so well here. I'm sorry if this disturbs anyone. But one of the things I noticed, a lot of comedians, a lot of people talk about pooping their pants quite often in the US.
Yeah, it's a big topic of discussion.
And I'm like, you know, I heard about it once or twice, and then it just became a whole thing. People, you know, it's kind of a rite of passage for Americans, pooping your pants, and that is a bit foreign to me. I don't know a lot of people who poop their pants, but apparently here it's a thing, and, you know, I dread every day, you know, needing to go through this, right, because I don't want to. It sounds dreadful, but the way, I'm a pretty healthy consumer of nourishment, so I don't think I'm going to go there. But what's up, American? What is that? What's going on?
I'm not sure if they might be exaggerating, like, either the number of times or even if they've pooped their pants. I don't know. Like, I'm sure some people have pooped their pants.
I watched this. There's this Sarah Silverman show. I forgot his name. Something America. I Love You, America. And she was with a few Republicans, and conversation started heating up. So she wanted to kind of calm down the spirits. So she said, okay, let's talk about something that everyone can, you know, benefit to. What was the worst time you pooped your pants? And everyone had a fucking story.
Wait, the worst time? Not just like...
Tell me about the time you pooped your pants, or I don't know, something like that.
So it's like an assumption?
It goes without saying.
Yeah, everyone does it. Tell me about your time.
I haven't pooped my pants.
And I'm like, haha, they're all going to laugh. But no, everyone had a fucking story.
You're telling me you've never pooped your pants?
I never did that.
I think I did when I was a kid, like a young kid.
As
an adult, I have control of my bowels.
No, but it's adults talking about, you know, them being, and I think Louis C.K. also, like, everyone say boo, but Louis C.K., like, at some point also, he said that he always needs to be within a fair distance from the toilet, or else he would poop his pants.
Yeah, he had an entire segment on his show where, like, the show Louis, where, like, he poops his pants in front of his daughters as if it's like, yeah, you're...
Oh, man, it's like burping or something here. And I guess I did when I was like 2 or so. I don't remember. I don't have a recollection of doing that in an age where I would remember it.
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah, yeah. Because, like, I'm Well, yeah, you poop your pants every day as a baby, but like, you know, like this is not something that adults should be doing.
I mean, I maybe in middle school at the very oldest would be acceptable for pooping your pants, but not as an adult.
My point is, this joke comes up way too often in the American lore. So like, I don't know, eat better, guys. I don't want to get into anyone's plate like that, especially since I'm vegan and it's like everyone's like, no, don't be that. And I don't want to be that person. But if you reach a point where you're an adult and you poop your pants, I don't know, make some new choices.
Yeah. I mean, stop eating just like, you know, bacon grease for breakfast, lunch, and dinner or something.
Yeah.
Now, just right before this episode, we were talking about how there was 7 minutes till recording, which was, you know, enough time to poop.
Yes.
And I had mentioned that Drumarts from the chat, I know for a fact it takes him 7 minutes to poop. And you mentioned that you're a fast pooper.
I am.
And there was something that you said that you can't believe why people would do this when they're pooping. Did you want to reiterate what that was?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of things I would probably not believe, but just the bringing the iPhone, the bringing the newspaper, the, ooh, I'm going to take a while, so better bring some entertainment with me. Which, you know, I would maybe bring my iPhone if I'm expecting a call. I don't know. It's just in my hand, but it's like, it's not, I don't think I will have the time or peace of mind to engage in an entertainment while I'm at the toilet. I want to get in. I want to concentrate on this activity and get out of there.
It's also kind of a gross activity, and I don't want to spend a lot of time doing it. Like, I want to get in and get out. Like, there's smells and there's like...
Yeah. I mean, again, it's, you know, it's... I do find a nice sense of relief when I'm there. It's like, oh, fuck it. You know, I don't know if you know, girls, you know, we have bowel issues sometimes. I think, I mean, you're a Jew. I'm a Jew. So we have some bowel issues also. but as our Ashkenazi
Jewish
Jews...
Very sensitive sometimes.
So it's like, I'm always thankful to the many gods I don't believe in for being able to have regular bowel movements. So if I'm there, you know, I am quite content about it. I can't say that it's an activity I dislike so much. I want to get out of there as fast as possible. This is not my case. My case is that I cannot concentrate on anything else while I'm there.
Okay.
I will sometimes I'll wake up early for work and I normally like to poop at the beginning of my day, and sometimes I'm not able to.
What do you mean, like? It either happens or it doesn't.
Well, I'd like when it happens. I like when it happens. I prefer for it to happen at the very beginning of my day.
I like how I feel after, like.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I feel lighter. I feel like I have more energy. Like, I'm not waiting for when I'm going to get the next opportunity to poop.
Exactly.
So sometimes I'm not able to poop, and I go to, and I think it's when I have too much bread the night before. I think I've isolated the issue.
Oh no! For me, it's just like after morning coffee. I drink my coffee and I just wait.
Yep.
And I notice that helps too.
Wait for the floodgates. Yeah.
Sometimes if I can't poop, I'll have lots of water and I'll go for a walk and I'll try again later. But sometimes I go to work.
This is a nice, healthy conversation.
I'll go to work and I haven't pooped yet, and I'll try on my break, and sometimes I'm not able to poop. And I hate when I go to poop on my break and I can't, because that's time I could have gotten something to eat. And then I'll go to try to poop on my lunch, and sometimes I'm not able to, and it's, my day's like halfway through or more and I haven't pooped yet.
I'm so sorry. This sounds dreadful.
It happens, you know.
So this
often,
is the poop
luckily.
Podcast. We've been talking about it for
You bring me over, expect quality content always.
Exactly.
But what I want to say, my final question, I mean, maybe to kind of wrap up the poop conversation, because I don't know how many listeners you've lost during this recording so far. We have about 10 minutes of that, so I think that's a nice portion when it comes to poop. My question is, how long would you wait until you realize this ain't happening?
I would give it the old college try. If I thought I was close, if I go to sit down and I know there's no chance in hell, maybe 5 minutes.
Wow.
But if I think there's a chance, I'll stick it out for like up to 10 minutes. I'll like I'll be in a sweat by the end of it.
That's amazing.
If I think that if I'm holding out hope.
Well, guys, no, the saying is shit or get off the pot. It's, you're supposed to be spending like 30 seconds there, Joe. Not
yeah. I'm with him. I mean, for me, it's, you know, I'm brutal. I'm like, if within, I don't know, seconds, minutes, I'm like, no, is happening. No, I'm punishing my body. Fuck you, body. I'm not.
I don't want to be disappointed.
I'm disappointed now.
Sometimes at the 10-minute mark, I'll have my opportunity.
So wait, can I ask you guys a question? Now, when you guys sit there and like apparently attempt to poop, are you guys just sitting there like actively like, or are you just waiting for it? Like, what's the strategy here?
It really depends on how it feels.
Oh
yeah, exactly. It depends on how I'm feeling.
Like if I'm seeing like, okay, it happens, but I guess I didn't have enough fiber and I didn't drink enough water. So it's like, okay, I need to endure this. This is going to hurt, but I need to do this because otherwise it'll just be bigger and more painful later on.
Oh yeah. Once in a while, I'll have a poop I'm really not looking forward to. Okay. I know what you mean.
Sometimes I'll be able to, I'll be like, I have to poop a lot, and then I'll poop a little poop. And I'm like, all right, this is, I'll poop again later, but that was good for now. I did my best.
I remember I had a friend that I would, you know, she always made fun of me because when I pee or poop, I make very relaxed voices, like, oh, like I'm very, like, because I'm making, I don't know, it feels very released. I'm releasing there. It's very fun. And she's like, why are you making the fun? I'm like, because I'm like emptying there. It's amazing. And she's like, I never feel completely empty afterwards. And oh, I can't really? I can't stop thinking about it. That's so fucking tragic.
Sometimes I scream and like I'll go like and then after I poop I'll go like like
you guys sound like power poopers. Like I can't relate to this at all. I feel like I just like do it normally. Like I don't never have any struggles with it.
Well, you've got a loose. You're very loose, Lars. It just drops out. You don't have to try.
No. I have to use effort. It's just not that much. Like,
okay, I have another question actually about peeing now.
Okay.
Because well, now we're let's done move, with right, poop segment.
Next, we're done
let's
with
do the next 13 minutes on.
I heard that men, like, it takes a few seconds before they pee. Like, they need to concentrate a little bit on adjusting the stream or something. Does this sound right?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
That's so weird!
It depends on how much you need to pee. Sometimes the floodgates are open and you just need to, like, on the drop of a pin. Other times you have to be like, all right, I'm not in a dream, right? This isn't like my brain telling me I have to pee, but I'm really in my bed. You want to make sure? I don't know about you guys.
What?
I've never struggled with that, Joe.
No. That's not what I meant.
No. And I know what you're talking about. And okay, so, but the thing is, mechanically, men's peeing is different than women's peeing. Like the
yes.
Like without getting into like the details here, like it takes a second to start up.
Let's.
Okay, well, like it has to travel like down the penis, I think, to get out.
That's so odd. No, because again, you know, I pee very fast too, and you know, like my husband is like, "Whoa, you always pee so fast," and I'm like, "Listen, you know, this it's like a well." And I'm pushing, it's like an upside down well. And, you know, and now I'm taking the cover out and it shoots out. There's nothing if I don't pee within an hour, I'm going to pee my pants, guys.
Yeah, I can. I mean, I like to, if I have to pee, I like to pee. I can hold it for like, I don't know, a normal amount of time. But I would say when I go to pee, to answer your original question, I would say once I make up my mind, like, all right, I'm going to pee. I would say like a good couple seconds goes by before I start to pee because I don't know why.
When you decide like when you're not in the bathroom, it only takes
in the bathroom.
A couple seconds?
I'm in the bathroom. I pull my fly down. I'm standing there like, you know, I'm ready to go. I would say, like, give it like 2 second count, like 1 1,000, 2 1,000, and then I will start to pee. Like,
wait, you have to count off?
No, like in my body, you know, like it. Do you just you? Unless I really have to pee, then on the drop of a pin, I will start to pee.
Okay. The idea of, you know, you need to kind of think about it, and I don't know. I heard about, you know, someone described it to me as if you need to adjust two tubes together. That's how it feels like, or something. Do they have a urological problem, or is that
for me?
That sounds kind of accurate. Like, not, oh my it's God. Not quite. Yeah, if you ever get the freak encounter experience, if you ever get, like, wake up in a man's body, you should try it out. It's very mechanically different. I'll just put it.
There's a lot of like, things I would love to try.
Yeah.
I would say it's kind of like you just relax, you know, your, you know, like crotch area.
All right.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but you have to like make it start.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to relax your area for it to be receptive to the pee.
Oh yeah, cuz men can stop it like completely, like it, as long as they want, until like the very last second.
Oh my God.
Or you can also sometimes stop midstream. You could be like, oh, like, so, like, I have to stop for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I could, but it would be like
painful.
No, I yes, theoretically, I just never tried because it's like I'm so in the moment of peeing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so like, oh, this is amazing. So I've never attempted to. But I guess I could, like, my. I don't know how you call that, those muscles over there.
Yeah, it's also further complicated, by the way, by the fact that there's many different systems going on. Like, there's one for like jizz, and there's one for pee. So it's like it's kind of like dicks are weird. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
Not to mention, if you're ever standing at a urinal,
do you
ever
do
standing
that?
At a urinal?
I've never known someone who like would do that. Like
what?
I've never known any men who, you know, do the urinal thing. They're like, nope, I need the toilet.
Oh, yeah, I prefer the toilet. Like, the urinals are gross.
Well, I prefer a toilet, too. A urinal, you get splashback.
It's not just splashback, it's like, you're standing there to each other while you howl.
Yeah, I hate it when there's, like, I will not use a urinal if there's, like, multiple ones there.
I mean, I don't really care, to be honest, but... Lars, have you ever had this happen where you have to poo and you have to pee? So you pee, but you're like clenching your butt because you don't want the poo to fall out.
What? No.
It's a thing. It's a thing. Like, I hope that I have to pee.
The chat's saying that's called a number three.
No, a number three is something different.
Also,
I assure you.
Also, the chat can be accessed how, Joe, if people wanted to tune into these live?
Oh, yeah. After 19 minutes of poo and pee discussion, we should plug the Discord.
Yes. Discord, what are we discording?
Discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune into these live. Lee, I'm kind of curious, like, how, as a content creator, how have you avoided Discord so far up until now?
I need to... What? What do you mean?
Well, it just seems like every content creator is on this platform.
Oh. You mean like animators? Because I'm not a real animator.
Oh.
You're a phony?
I'm a big phony, yeah. I'm, you know, I do animation, but I also like leaving the house and going to meet people. Like, the worst thing about animation for me is that you need to be alone most of the time. And I think for most animators, that's like a plus.
By the way, where did you grow up in Israel?
Yeah, no, Tel Aviv. You know, the Israel is so tiny. I grew up, you know, in a city next to Tel Aviv, but it's practically Tel Aviv, so I can say Tel Aviv. You asked that in a very suspicious way, so I'm why?
I've been there. I've been to Tel Aviv. I went on Birthright, so I spent 10 days in Israel.
No, you should go not on Birthright, because those tend to be very political, and how would I say this without getting into trouble?
Like, there's a mission. There's a mission for to portray it.
To convert you to the cause.
There is.
Yes. And we shall end at that because, oh God, let's not make it political right now. But yeah, I would recommend going, yes, not with Birthright at some point.
Maybe next time I'm in Europe, I'll take a stopover in Israel.
Yes, go for it. Ooh, Europe is nice.
I'm already there.
Anyway, yeah, about Discord. Why am I? I don't know. I never heard about it. You mean YouTube content creators or just anyone who's an animator?
It's mostly content creators because it's like a good way to interact with your fans.
Ah, I don't have fans.
You don't have fans?
I think you've got like hundreds of thousands of people.
No, they watch, but you know, I think the success of my channel kind of came from, you know, my videos being viral and getting published in a lot of outlets and newspapers and stuff like that, which was awesome. So yeah, no, of course I have a bunch of people who follow what I do, but it's kind of different, I think, from other content creators who have a very specific audience that follows them.
By the way, I did want to revisit our poop discussion because there was one last thing.
Okay. Getting back to poop.
Yes.
Getting back to poop. People who bring the book specifically into the bathroom, I cannot, anytime I go into somebody's bathroom and there's a book in there, it's like, am I going to pick up that book and read it? That's disgusting. And like, how much time are these people spending on the toilet? They're going to get hemorrhoids? If I go into my friend's bathroom and there's a book, the first thing I do is go into their medicine cabinet and check for Preparation H.
The thing with books is, and here I will say that, fuck you nerds, I agree with Marie Kondo, you will not read all of these books. A lot of times, you know, I fucking love libraries, I love people that have a lot of books, but you know, but eventually it's kind of a monument for your achievements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of the same in the bathroom too. That's why, you know, I moved to America. I couldn't bring my monuments of achievements with me. So, you know, me and my husband kind of decided, let's not own a lot of stuff. So I understand why, you know, it's fun. It's fun seeing kind of a few artsy books lying around in your tiny library, because those probably people would be interested in. Still, I think you're not supposed to actually read the ones in bathrooms. I think it's just nice to look at.
Mm-hmm. It's intellectual bragging.
Yeah, intellectual bragging. But also, I know books are very pleasant, very nice to look at. It's very, you know, and especially in this digital age, it's nice to see something that, you know, you can grab, even if you don't actually do that, that's physical and there, and it's nice.
I feel like pooping is what we've bonded over.
No, that's usually the case with me.
Yeah.
The rest of this episode should just be about poop.
I don't mind moving into other stuff. It's just it seems very interesting. We can talk about Marie Kondo too.
By the way, though, speaking of a digital age, we should talk about our sponsor, Audible. If you want to make the switch over from your library book collection.
Not sponsored by Audible.
Oh, wait. Shit, you're right. We're not.
Oh, Amazon. You're thinking of Amazon.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Amazon, our actual sponsor. Amazon.t1podcast.com is the link.
Amazon.t1podcast.com. You're going to want to bookmark that link for later, because Amazon sells millions of products that you will use every day. Not all of them, but some of them.
Including real and ebooks.
Including books that you can put next to your toilet for intellectual bragging, Preparation H for your aching butthole. And they probably sell toilets, because let's be honest, you're spending a lot of time on the toilet if you listen to our podcast.
Yep.
I've looked at the statistics. People who listen to our podcast are big, long poopers.
Yeah, you would be surprised what our analytics can tell. I would be concerned. But yeah.
That's how I know DrumArt spends 8 minutes on the toilet.
Guys, if you want to help the show in a way that helps us, that's a weird sentence. If you want to help the show in a way that doesn't mean you spend any extra money, because you are already going to shop on Amazon, don't lie.
You're already going to shop.
You probably bought something there today.
Probably.
Go to amazon.t1podcast.com.
Amazon.t1podcast.com. Like I said, you're going to want to bookmark that link for later, because it's going to help out your good friends, Lars and Joe, and it's going to make you feel good. Like, after a nice, successful time on the toilet.
All right, should we go back to pooping, or should we talk about something else?
Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about my dreidel collection.
Okay.
I've got these big
dreidels.
You have
a collection?
I have three dreidels. They're made out of clay. Well, two of them are. One of them is made out of concrete. They weigh about 30 pounds a piece, and I keep them in a big oversized luggage. I call it my go bag. So in case Nazis ever come after me, I'm able to grab them and go. And it's my dreidels.
Again, I have a big claim against those for, you know, in case Nazis do run after you. Then again, you could throw them. You could throw one of them on them, on those Nazis, which is a good idea.
I wouldn't want to. No, not my dreidels.
Yeah, I see that. My
dreidels. But it's like a big blunt weapon, Joe. Like it's a good.
Oh, I wouldn't.
It's a ballistic.
I could use them that way, but I would never use that.
Why?
like a weapon. My dreidels? Come on, those are my dreidels. I made them out of clay.
Goys don't understand anything about our connections to dreidels.
Yeah, that's my big spinning top.
And that's the dreidel portion of our podcast, people.
Poop. That's dreidels.
It was wonderful.
Peeing. And
that's Amazon. My brand.
Anatomical Jewishness. Differences.
And poop.
The difference part, some of the differences between men and women.
Yes.
Let's see. This has been very entertaining and informative. This has essentially been an infomercial for Preparation H so far.
Yeah.
Damn it, it's important, man.
It's Preparation H, you better give us a sponsorship.
You guys go to the gym.
No, but I run.
Hey, that's good. No, the reason I go to the gym instead of running, I mean, other than, you know, I don't want to do it outside because ew. I like watching stuff on my iPad during my runs or walks. So I wanted to ask, like, what was the last thing you watched on the treadmill? But now I have no question because you don't do that.
Well, I have used the treadmill in the past. I would normally just listen to music.
That works. What kind of music would you listen to?
Oh, I love Cat Stevens, Simon and Garfunkel.
Ah. Simon and Garfunkel, you need to listen to something on beat.
Yeah, if you
that's true.
Cat Stevens would just make me want to relax. Yeah, Joe.
I did. I had a strong, forgot what their names are. But
Peter, Paul, and Mary
upbringing.
You will not be able to, old light opera.
Oh, light orchestra.
No, well, they have this opera light musical called, you know, the guys who did Pirates and Penzance and the Mikado. Maybe someone in the chat can help us.
Are you thinking of that band that does like an experimental sound?
What? No, fuck. I'm talking about like early 20th century operetta creators. Oh my god, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a pretty obscure topic.
Fuck, it's not obscure at all. Just a second.
Yeah, fuck okay. You, Lars.
Fuck you.
You come on the podcast, Lars. You insult our guest. Tell her music's obscure.
1920s operettas.
By the way, what would be your useless superpower?
Mine?
Yeah, and please answer as if your life depended on it.
Can I just tell you who I was referring to?
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert and Sullivan, you know them,
oh,
don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
See, I'm an expert on them.
Are you?
Gilbert and Sullivan?
Sounds like you're typing, Joe.
I'm not typing.
He's not typing.
Yes. It refers to the Victorian era theatrical partnerships of the dramatist Gilbert and the composer Sullivan.
Oh, you know
Sullivan.
Who they are. You know the most famous song from Pirates of Penzance? I am the very model.
Yes,
I think so, yeah.
Yes, I know that, of course.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe, do some more
Googling.
Yeah,
it's from Animaniac.
Yes, it's a comic opera in two acts with music by Sullivan and Gilbert. You're talking about The Slave of Duty or The Pirates of Penzance.
Slave of Duty.
That's what it says here on Wikipedia.
Duty.
it says the opera. Let me see.
Well, anyway. The last time I listened to music and not watch shows at the gym, I listened to HMS Pinafore, which is one of their operas, which, hey, if you like The Simpsons, in that Sideshow Bob episode, Bart asks him to recite the entire opera before killing him.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
I remember that.
You uncultured swines.
Yeah, I'm not an uncultured swine.
What? No, I'm saying I've seen it.
Anyway.
Ours is maybe an uncultured swine. I'm not an uncultured
okay,
swine.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, with the thing with the dreidels, that's true. What did you start asking after?
Oh, what's your useless
superpower.
Yeah, it could be marginally.
Jeez, there are so fucking many.
There are.
I'm very useless.
So you thought about this.
I'm just a very useless person in general.
Oh,
same.
I mean, just my job, being an animator and a writer, that's really fucking useless.
That's useful. I mean,
well, that's very helpful. Like,
how? This, you know, we are very rapidly reaching an apocalyptic future. So it's like, what would I do with it then? I can be, I guess, a traveling bard or something because I also know how to play the ukulele.
Just animate the apocalypse.
Yeah. Traveling bard.
I guess I have. That's kind of what I'd be when, you know, we don't have anything and, you know, people need to hunt for food. I can entertain with my ukulele, I guess.
Any suggestions from the chat? What could she be with her ukulele and the animation?
I feel like you could be like a bathroom health instructor.
There is no bathrooms. It's a post-apocalyptic society.
People still have to go to the bathroom.
Well, bathrooms don't just suddenly not exist. Like,
here we are back at the bathrooms. Yeah. It always comes back to the bathroom.
But you want something specific. Let me think about that.
Okay.
Oh, a lone ukulele ranger?
Yeah, sure. I guess.
A police sketch artist? Stab people with your ink pen and drop their blood?
Wow.
A traveling puppeteer? A Dungeons and Dragons dungeon master?
No,
these
I'm
are all
not.
Good options for you.
I don't do D&D.
Yeah, me neither.
It's well, just that I'm there and I'm like, everyone's like, Roll, what are you now? And I'm like, I killed you all. And they're like, no, you can't just do that. I'm like, yes, it's imagination.
Of course
you're
you
all
can.
Dead.
Yeah. It's
propaganda.
You're making
artists.
It up as you go.
No, there are rules for it. And you know, I have some friends who love D&D, and I had a friend who talked to me about an argument he had with another friend. During the D&D, like, he was like, you know, bring me all your men. And she was like, I also have, like, fighter women. And he's like, no. And they just had this conversation about why isn't he also asking for fighting women? And he's like, and I'm like, it's so stupid.
Are you assuming the gender of the fighters?
That's what they did. I'm just saying, you know, just. And he's like, no, the women fighters are weaker. And I'm like, this is D&D. Like, who cares? Invent that they're stronger. Who cares? God, all those arguments are so stupid.
VA/V from the chat says, go kill a dragon. You know, which I... Yeah, just go kill a dragon. You know, it's D&D. It's D&D, you know, just...
Yeah, why? What did the dragon ever do to me?
Oh, that's a good point. Why kill the dragon? That is so stereotypical, to go kill a dragon, but why? It causes us to think.
What?
Oh,
anyway,
the
I'm sorry I'm bad-mouthing D&D, guys. I'm sure it's very... I just read this really sweet tweet about this guy who played D&D with his grandma, and she got really into it and started drawing her character, and that's, like, awesome. Like... It really wanted me to create like a show about a bunch of, you know, old timers that find a new meaning to life through D&D. That's awesome. I'm just saying that I tend to see people take it overly serious to the point of fighting over very, very silly things.
Mm-hmm. Have you played Elder Scrolls or Skyrim?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that is a video game. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I'm also not a gamer. Ooh. I'm every hot girl stereotype. I'm so sorry.
Well. We can continue anyway.
Yes.
Wait, so you never answered what your useless superpower was.
Oh my god, fine. Let me think.
All right. We'll give you some time. Lars, cue the Jeopardy music. Rejoice! Rejoice! I know I'm back! I'm pretty hard!
All right, time's up.
Yeah, I can give, like, really weird Bible trivia, I guess.
That's pretty useless.
Yeah,
like that.
There we go.
That's great.
Really weird Bible trivia.
Yeah.
That's a qualifier on the Bible trivia.
Because, you know, Jewish mythology is assembled by a lot of, you know, different kind of scriptures. So, you know, you have the Old Testament... You have the Bible, but you also have, like, you know, Kabbalah and all the other shit. And also you have Midrash. Midrash is that practice of, you know, kind of trying to rewrite or fix all kinds of Bible passages that either don't make sense, that have some verses missing, that kind of sounds like, you know, oh, that guy appears here and in the next verse he appears in another place. What did he do during, in between? So Midrash is, you know, we call it Bible fan fiction because that's basically what it is. It was, I think it was written by like rabbinic scholars around 3 to 5 AD.
Years ago?
Yeah, a bunch of years ago. And, you know, a lot of them are really fucking interesting. So because, you know, what they're trying to do. Now, a lot of them, you know, are you know, legend stories, like very fantastical stories that try to kind of complete all kinds of verses. So one of them is about Jonah and the whale. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
So in this specific legend, Midrash, Jonah is, you know, swallowed by the fish, not swallowed by the whale, by the way, it's swallowed by a big fish. And then he was taken to the whale by that fish. And Jonah was like, fuck this. I do not want to be swallowed by the whale right now. So he gets out of the fish and the whale is like, I'm gonna swallow you. And Jonah's like, you will not because I'm friends with God. And the whale is like, no, you're not.
So he name drops God.
Yeah, he does. He really does. And the whale is like, nah, he doesn't believe him. So Jonah's like, you know what? And he pulls down his, brings up his skirt or pulls down his pants or whatever he was wearing. And he was kind of pointing at his dick and is like, I'm circumcised. That's mean I'm like buddies with God. And the whale is like, oh shit. And runs away. This is a true Jewish mythology story.
So it's not really meant to be like actually what happened. It's
That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened.
The fish looked at the guy's dick and ran away.
The fish is like, okay.
Because the fish has a concept of God.
The fish is like, you know, I already swallowed him. What can I do? The whale just is like, I'm not messing with God, man.
Who am I to cast out?
It just sounds to me like you're able to gather this really weird Bible knowledge without the power, though. So it's also like useless because you can already do this if you really wanted to.
Oh, it's something you can already do. So you have to choose a new one.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
I'm just kidding. You don't have a new superpower because it's something that you can already do.
Wait, you need me to invent a useless superpower?
Yeah.
No, just you need one that you aren't physically able to do yet.
Yeah, like you have to come up with something that you can't already do.
Do I need to cue the Jeopardy music
again? Talk to whales about my dick or something.
The ability to talk to whales about your dick.
Specifically that.
You know what? That's pretty useless. I think that'll do fine.
Okay.
Right, Lars?
Yeah. That's fine.
I'm sorry for misunderstanding.
No, that was interesting. Yeah, you're fine.
So your English is pretty good for only having lived here for the past 4 years.
I was born here. Uh-huh. I was born in New York. I lived in Tarzana.
How long before moving to Israel?
Wait, someone published whale comics in the chat.
Oh yeah, someone's posting whale comics.
In
I'm feeling very special. Never mind. So as a kid, I moved to Israel. But also, I'm a big nerd, so, you know, I was, you know, online most of my youth, tween, whenever it is that we got internet.
Yeah.
And I think the Israelis in general are just, you know, their English is fine. We get a lot of TV and movies, everything. We get everything. And we never, you know, dub them or anything like other Europeans.
Have you heard that ancient aliens theory that the big fish that swallowed Jonah was like a UFO?
Is that something on the chat?
No, that's just this. It's like on the, it's like a TV show, Ancient Aliens, where they try to say like, oh, you know, 5,000 years ago, there's a Bible story about this or that. Oh, it was aliens.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? Let it be aliens.
It's either aliens or monsters, whatever.
Those are the only two options.
Do you believe in time travel?
I do not. I want that to be, you know, I like Doctor Who very much. And I did create a pilot about time travelers. But, you know, belief doesn't exist yet. Do I believe it's going to be a reality one day? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, sure.
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Why are you asking that?
So between you and me, Lars and I got our show started due to time travel.
Explain.
Oh, okay, Joe.
In 1972, Alexis, the original third host of the show, sent an iPhone back in time from the year 2018, and we got the iPhone in 1972.
Well, don't just lie to her, Joe.
I'm not lying. We got the iPhone, and she FaceTimed us, and she said, you have to start... Hey, car going by. I'm in the middle of a podcast. Shut the fuck up.
All right.
Sorry. And she said, you've got to start the show. You've got to start this podcast.
You're just completely misleading the guest, Joe.
I'm not. I'm being completely...
I don't know what to think anymore.
She sent this iPhone back in time. It's all over the Wikipedia article for our show.
Okay, Joe.
Anyway.
Well, anyone can edit Wikipedia, though. That's the problem. So they could just add that story. Like,
wait, really?
Yes, anyone can... Yes.
So that's not true?
No.
Oh, shit.
All right, let's move on.
I believe that, Joe. I believe you.
Thank you.
Someone should.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, cool. There's a cavalcade of old cars going by my house right now. That's wonderful.
You should
Where
put in
are
like,
you guys, by the way?
Orange County.
Oh.
Lars, you should put in like honking noises like...
Like what?
Like these old 1920s style car horns.
Wait, like
Where
what?
Where are we? Well, what is the conversation now?
There's a cavalcade of cars going by Lars'
I don't
house.
Know much about cars. I only drove a motorcycle.
Oh. What kind of motorcycle?
Like, you know, like a scooter. Like, not a scooter, like a Vespa.
Okay. That's cool. I used to have one of those. Not a Vespa, but an off-brand Vespa.
We're very cool, both of us.
And then I had a motorcycle and crashed it twice.
Whoa. Did you break anything?
I did.
What?
The first time I sprained my wrist, but the second time I completely destroyed my pinky and middle finger.
You said completely destroyed. I'm like, what? My pinky.
Yeah. My pinky. Yeah, my middle finger. They had to be rebuilt.
Holy shit. So what do you have there now?
So both the tendons were cut. So they had to reattach the tendons. And my pinky, there was a little bit of calcification that happened along the knuckle. So I have an extra bone in there now, or like bone material. So I have like this super strong knuckle on my pinky, like a caveman knuckle, like super strength, basically.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I just broke my clavicle.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Your clavicle, that's like your collarbone, right?
Collarbone, yeah, but it's, you know, it's like a bicycle wound. It's like it's a shame to you know, to any motorcycle riders anywhere.
Well, was it painful? Did it hurt?
I couldn't really feel it. Like, you know, I had like surgery there, so then it hurt. But, you know, I was there underground and I just realized that I can't, because I tried to kind of test if I can move everything and I couldn't move my shoulder. So I can't say it hurt as much as, you know, I couldn't move it.
Interesting.
I guess it hurt later on when I, you know, in the hospital when I got up to pee.
Yep.
It's usually not something that you're supposed to have surgery for, but it was like a very ambitious new doctor that wanted that to become a reality, because you usually don't put like titanium there or whatever and let it heal by itself. But he claimed that it's actually important for fast recovery. And I was like, yeah, fucking do it. And yeah, he's still like showing me as an example for why that's a good idea.
Was it a good idea?
It was.
All right. I feel like we have more poop discussion to get to, though.
Oh, come on. I'm more interesting than poop.
All right.
What do you want
to talk about then, guys?
What do I want to talk about? I'm obsessed with good omens. Anyone who follows my Instagram now, so they see that, you know, I have two things that I do a lot, which a lot of thirst photos, follow me, boys, and a lot of like good omens stories that I share of fan art. That's what I say. Do you like good omens?
What do you mean exactly by good omens?
The Amazon TV show based on the book by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, which I read 10 years ago.
I don't know it.
Oh my God. What are we going to do then?
Well, we can talk about stuff like Camp Camp or like other relevant things, but
yeah, sure.
A lot of people, by the way, a lot of people on our Discord server talk about Good Omens. Like, they're huge fans.
Ah, like now someone's writing about it?
Well, actually now, yeah, but also like it's a common topic of discussion on the server because we've got a lot
of
that. Yeah.
Also, I see that on Instagram and Tumblr, relevant to my interests, a lot of fan art. But now that Tumblr stopped like allowing porn on their site, it's very hard to find those kind of fan arts anymore. So I'm feeling like something in me died.
When Tumblr made it so you can't put porn, it's like Pornhub making it so you can't put porn.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yep.
And you know, we can laugh about it until tomorrow. But you know, also Tumblr, you know, it was kind of a very positive environment for a lot of people who were not comfortable with, you know, with regular porn.
Yeah.
And like, hey, now what are we gonna fucking do?
Isn't there still a lot of like anti-Semitic stuff on there though? Like
on
white
Tumblr?
Supremacist stuff.
On Tumblr?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I don't go on there, but
I hadn't run into it, but you know, I don't make it a case to go around anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
you don't search for it.
No, not me.
Oh, okay. I just heard that apparently that was like a thing. People were saying like, "Oh, you're getting rid of the porn. Why not get rid of the stuff?" That's
probably.
Also
I mean, you know, I believe there's Nazis everywhere. Why not fucking Tumblr?
Well, the general leaning of Tumblr though is pretty far left, Joe.
Yeah,
which is good, sure. But you know,
yeah.
I'm sure there's Nazis over there. Yeah, sure, for sure. Well, but
so did you fight in the military in Israel?
Fight. Okay, I was in the military there, but you know, I was like an IT person.
Oh. Okay. That's a pretty good job to have.
Have you tried turning it off and on again? No, mm-hmm. When I was in the army, I was served between 2004 and 2006, which was right after high school. I'm old. So it's like, it was the time where not everyone was into computers yet.
Ah.
Don't know if you remember. Mm-hmm. Especially, specifically in Israel, I guess. So it's like a lot of people, the problems were really stupid because, you know, sometimes was the first time for a lot of soldiers, for a lot of guys and girls that they ever encountered a computer. So a lot of the problems were like, I remember one time, you know, they called me and I tried to help them out. They said the computer isn't working. It isn't working. I'm like, okay, I'm coming over. And I would come over and they just plugged the wrong thing. They plugged, you know, they had two cables and they plugged the cable that belonged to the stove or something instead of the cable of the computer, which, you know, it's an honest mistake.
As one does when you're trying to get the computer to work. Did you plug in the stove?
My stove isn't, you know, I guess because, you know, it was all in the same area there. So I joined the army because, you know, we have to. It's mandatory. Mm-hmm. And I was an IT person in stupid times where not everyone yet had, you know, now everyone is on their iPhones and everyone has a computer. At the time, it was like a little less. So, yes, that's what I did. I did not fight. I did have a gun for like a hot second because in boot camp, you have to learn how to shoot one. It was not good. It was not good for me, guys.
Is that why they put you in IT?
Probably. I mean, they were like, she looks pale. She knows computers, kind of.
Can you tell us about computers back then in Israel?
Oh, Jesus like, Christ.
How much RAM did they come with?
Oh, my God.
Three.
Just kidding. It doesn't matter.
I don't remember anything that happened.
1 kilobyte.
I don't remember anything that happened before last week. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. Oh, hey. One of our server members did want to come on and give a live question if you'd be willing to allow him.
Okay. Is it inappropriate questions?
No.
Okay.
No, he's like a fan of yours,
I'd be fine with that. I just need to, you know, get in that mood.
Is it poop related?
No, it's not.
Oh. Oh, Lenny, bring him anyway.
Right.
All right. You're unmuted.
All right. So we, are there any shows?
You should introduce yourself.
Yeah, greet
you
the guest,
on the
please.
Show.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Shade. Shade Act. Okay, so we, what shows do you want to make cartoons about, like shorts about, but that you haven't had the time to make a video about?
Ooh. Okay, so here's the problem nowadays. Are you talking about specifically shorts for my YouTube channel or just like...
Yeah.
Thank you. So the reason I hadn't been updating for a while is because when I started out at 2013, like uploading stuff, end of 2013, it was kind of the golden age for like geek material. Like Marvel just became like a really hot thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot of, you know, new shows and Netflix was really, really hot. So it was really easy creating around that because everyone watched kind of generally the same things, which was true for a long time. But slowly, with the rise of more and more platforms, the audience started being very separated. So the last thing I created around was Stranger Things. That was kind of the last big thing that everyone watched. Like the last video I did was the Good Place, and that was a lot of people didn't get it because we're not in that era anymore. So that's kind of sad, but also so it's like I didn't have any idea what can I create that would reach as many audiences. And you know, we never, when I say we, I mean me and my husband, we create together. We never really wanted to cater to the audience too much and okay, this is hot, let's make something about that. But when something is very, very popular, it does give you the juices to wanna parody it because, you know, it's so big and like, oh man, I need to comment on that too. But now there's just nothing like that. So even if I wanna create, even we have like a really funny idea, it'll feel like a bit weird to just, you know, like, I'd love to make because I'm such a big Good Omen slut, like, I'd love to make something about that, but I'm like, this won't have, it'll be weird to make something, you know, that's, you know, it's kind of niche in a way. So that's why I made less and less, and now I'm kind of more interested in just creating my own content. So that's mainly what we're working on. Like, now we're working on a certain series that starting next week we're going to do a big pitch round around that, knock on wood, hopefully that'll be a thing. But for my channel, it'll be a while before we have something that we want to do. Probably something for How It Should Have Ended, though.
Now, you noticed that if you did that video, it would be Nietzsche. Have you thought about making a video about the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche?
I don't know how that's a bad joke, man. And also, like, you know, but for real, I don't know, all the, you know, first year philosophy students are gonna come and comment about that's just no.
Well, that's true, and they're the most obnoxious.
I know.
First year philosophy, even any philosophy students, except for me and Lars, would just, and you know, that's how we met.
Yeah,
but.
Oh. Very romantic. It would be,
Lars, you remember when we were in ancient Greek philosophy and there was that really annoying first year kid that was like, I took two philosophy classes already. I'm an expert.
Oh, yeah. There's always that one kid in the philosophy class who's like, yeah, but here's the thing. It's like in response to everything, it was dreadful. Yes.
What about this basic philosophical concept?
Yeah. I would just shape. Well, did that answer your question? Was that satisfactory?
Oh, he's muted. Let's get him back
he
on.
He said yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Can you say it in that way? We'll put it in?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that didn't sound convincing. I'm sorry, Shade. I might do something with How It Should Have Ended again because I love those guys and, you know, we always want to work together, so that might be a thing.
All right. Lee.
Yeah.
If people wanted to tune into Camp Camp, how could they do that?
I mean, there's Rooster Teeth has their own app with like a list of their shows, so it's there, like roosterteeth.com. I know that whenever a new episode comes out, you need to be a member in order to watch it, but after a week, it just gets released for everyone. We wrote a bunch of episodes over there. Our next episode, I think, comes out not this week, but the next, I think.
Okay. And if people wanted to tune into your channel, even if you haven't uploaded it in a while, how can they do that?
Oh, youtube.com/onlyleigh, which is O-N-L-Y-L-E-I-G-H.
Okay. And do you have any other links you'd like to plug?
So that's the thing. I deleted my Twitter at some point because I was like, this place is just, I'm going to return after we overthrow Trump. Like, it was just, this is too much. But I do have Instagram, which is Leigh Lahav, L-E-I-G-H-L-A-H-A-V. I must warn you, though, I don't upload too much art into there. I just do a bunch of selfies and brag about going to boring places like museums. Yesterday I was in the LA Natural History Museum. It was actually awesome.
Nice brag.
Yes, it was awesome. And very, very educated.
Joe, it's not bragging to say you went to a museum.
I'm just kidding.
I wanted to brag. It's kind of like the book bragging. It's like, look how educated and cool I am.
Equivalent of putting a book next to your toilet.
Yeah.
It always comes around to the poop at the end.
Especially since, Natural History Museum is basically like kids' museum. You don't really go there to get educated. You go there to see, like, dinosaurs.
What's the most number of times that you've pooped in a day, let's say, in the past few
that's
years?
That's a great question.
Is it?
There was, for me, again, talking about the army, during the army, because I was depressed because it was the army, and because, I just have a lot of stomach issues, because Joe will understand this. When Jews are very stressed out, we have stomach issues. So I really had like the worst constipation then. Like, I'm talking about like a whole week of not pooping. So every time I poop, even more than once a day, and even once a day, like, makes me so fucking happy. But I think I had like the magical, if we're not talking about like being sick, but just like, whoa, this is fast. I think usually when I travel, like on planes and stuff like that, it goes up to like three. Oh, which
three?
Yeah, that's not a lot. For me, it's a lot.
Three's a lot.
Usually it's like either one or two.
I almost always poop at least once a day. If I don't poop in a day, I feel really bad about it.
Yeah,
myself.
Me too. But you have to understand, I'm still very grateful for that, because there was a time in my life where that was not an option. So not every time I poop like once a day, it's like, yes.
It takes the lowest lows to appreciate just the once a day poop.
look, guys. I like to go and smell the flowers or the bathrooms or whatever it is that makes me, kind of appreciative. But that's kind of the thing. It doesn't get a lot to get me down, but it also doesn't get a lot to make me happy. Like, I walk and buy bread.
Poop is the spice of life.
This also, it's like, this makes me really fucking happy. And I just bought a new pair of glasses, and this makes me fucking happy. I'm basically living like I'm 80.
For me, 4 to 5 times.
No.
A day?
Are you okay?
That was the most. That was the most in one day.
Oh, I thought you were saying on average.
No. On average, just once. And it was last year sometime. I pooped like 4, maybe 5 times in a day.
Okay. Well, sometimes if I'm having like really spicy food.
Oh, no. That's painful then.
Yeah. Like, it's worth it because I love spicy food. I think all food should be spicy, but yeah, then sometimes you get up there into like the 3 or 4 at that point.
And they were nice poops. They,
oh, can you describe them, Joe?
Yes, please.
It wasn't just baby poop.
Nice, healthy ones.
No, just your average normal poop. Yeah, I mean, I didn't examine them. I don't even know if by the third and fourth poop, I don't even know if I looked at it.
Okay, as long as we're on the subject, do you like doing it more at home or like somewhere else? And I'm not talking somewhere else like, where you're not comfortable. Like, when I go to the gym, I love pooping there.
You know, it really depends. When I'm at home and I poop, it's a normal poop. I enjoy it. It's a normal poop. When I'm somewhere else and I poop, it's almost something of an accomplishment. You go into the poop, you're not sure if it's going to be good. You're not sure if you're going to, maybe the toilet paper is not going to be good. Maybe like, so it has the potential to be very, very bad. And you know how we had said that the lowest lows make for the very best poops? It's that expectation that it might not be a good poop.
Okay, now I have a certain theory. You guys need to, you know, back me up on it. Maybe I'm wrong. My theory is if you really enjoy sleeping in foreign places, you will enjoy pooping in foreign places, because I sleep the best in like hotels, or if I sleep at a friend's house or something, like I sleep like a fucking baby. Whereas in my house, I wake up like 2 times, get into like an anxious spree of thinking about the wrongdoings of my life. But in other people's, you know, other people's houses or hotels, I'm just, it's the best.
I do sleep better in other places.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm in the complete opposite. I think you guys are nuts. Like, I love my bed, and I also like to poop at home.
So, and does my theory also apply to you?
Well, you mean in reverse, where it's like, if I like to sleep at home, I like to poop at home?
Yeah, no, for Joe, you said that, yeah, you like to sleep at home and poop at home. Joe?
You know, I don't mind pooping at home. It's funny that you say that. As you were saying that, it kind of paints this image of sitting in your friend's bathroom, dropping a Mondo Dookie in their...
Mondo Duke.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, into their porcelain throne. Thinking to yourself, this is somebody else's bathroom that they know, and I am borrowing it for a moment. And it really puts you into their butthole, if you will. Really? You know, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, poop a mile into somebody else's butt.
I know, but when it's people who love entertaining and people like invite you, usually their toilet is going to be nice. Like, we know, we try to keep our toilet very nice, but you know, when we know people are coming over, it's going to be polished.
Yeah, well, it'd be awkward if it was any different. Like if you invite people over and your toilets look like shit, like that would be terrible.
You guys have what is it? Those potty squatties, squatty potties.
I really want one.
They're so nice. I used to have one.
My husband like makes a face of come on when I want to buy one. So I don't know. I always
just get it anyway.
Yeah, I should. But however, our toilet is also very close to the bathroom, so to our tub. So I just kind of put my legs on the tub.
Oh, okay.
On like the yeah.
Oh, so you're able to squat? It? Okay.
Yeah.
I hear squatting is supposed to be like the natural way to poop.
Yeah, it is. I don't always like it.
I think the squatty potty was invented in Israel.
I guess.
If memory serves.
I mean, this is kind of the thing with me. I will believe that you're actually from the past. I will believe that that was invented in Israel. What reason do I have to, you know, to not believe that?
Yeah, guys,
I might be wrong.
Guys,
but
if you're listening to this, take the first podcast as gospel. This is, we know what we're talking about.
I just seem to recall that. Let me look it up.
Look it up. Waze was invented in Israel. That much I can say.
Huh?
Yes.
The Pepsi of map programs.
Evil.
There's a lot of...
Fuck
Yo, you
I
done
like
typing
Pepsi.
Yet?
Hold on.
Dead air, Joe.
Well, just go on without me. I'm doing research on it.
Okay.
What's up, Lars? What do you have to ask me?
Lee.
Anyone else wants to ask you questions?
Oh, yeah. If you have any more questions for Lee before we close the episode, go ahead and type them in the chat.
I love attention. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was invented in Israel now. I think I might have been mistaken.
Well, you guys, Tej, do you have a question? Because you're typing something out.
Apparently, it might cause hemorrhoids.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't get one then.
Oh, it's
too late.
The chat is requesting that we talk more about the shows that you work on. Do you really want to? Or
they're like, please stop talking about poop. Please talk about your shows.
Hey, would you guys like to talk about anything?
Fine. I can't. I mean, the show I'm going to start pitching next week, you know, I don't mind talking about anything that I create. Once there's already a production company, and there is, it means that other people are involved, and I feel a little uncomfortable revealing too much. I will say this about this specific project. It's probably the one I worked most on. It's probably the one that's most personal to me in terms of what it deals with. It has to deal with, you know, my Jewish Israelite past. It has to do, you know, with certain themes that are very, you know, personal to me too. I took a lot of influences from shows like One Piece and stuff like that, where you have kind of continuous arcs and emotional arcs and stuff like that. I won't pitch it as, you know, talk as One Piece, just because, you know, most production companies will not understand what I'm talking about. But yeah, that's the most I can talk about it right now because I'm uncomfortable. We're also trying to sell, you know, I made this short pilot called Ballantine Our Time Travelers, which is also a thing we're kind of trying. We did a little pitch run with that and didn't fit some of the places the way we pitch, but it might fit others. But that's kind of second violin or whatever to the one that we're trying right now. And we have another horror comedy anthology that we've been dying to get out at some point. But since it's animated, it's a little hard to sell anthologies that are also animated that, you know, aren't created by insanely huge directors like the one on Love, Death, and Robots, which I forgot the name there. So, yeah. So that's the most I can share right now.
Well, thank you for sharing what you did.
Thank you for sharing that, yeah. Do you know the voice actress from Big City Greens who plays Tilly, Mary of Harrington?
I don't know any of the words you said.
Okay, never mind.
Oh,
she was a voice actress that we had on the show. I was just seeing, cool, since we were talking about animation, I was seeing if
Big City, that's for kids, right? That's, now I'm remembering.
Yeah.
They're hillbillies.
I think it's on Disney.
Yes.
Okay. Do you mind if we just rapid fire the last few questions from the chat and then we can call it a day?
Yes, please, 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 please.
Okay. All right. Are you planning on doing more stuff with Ballantina?
I really want to. We right now, there is a certain channel that is looking at the material. I don't want to say which one. It's a big kids channel. What?
Is it PewDiePie?
He got married or something, no?
Or something.
I don't know. I'm barely a YouTuber.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think of the new doctor?
What, 13?
Yeah.
I fucking love her. I don't like the show so much. I don't think, I mean, I hadn't liked the show as much after Tennant. I didn't love Moffat as a showrunner. I thought, you know, I thought 11 was great, but, you know, it just didn't do it for me anymore. And the new one is just so dramatic, and I don't understand why. It used to be like a really fun, quirky kids show, and that's kind of why I liked it. I'm not that much into sci-fi, but I liked that because it was very, you know, it was for kids, and it knew what it was. Now it's just very overly serious. So I love her. I don't like the show anymore.
What? Here's the thing about the newest season, by the way, though. It gave us Graham.
Yeah, I mean, it has, it's just that my problem with the new season also is that a lot of the companions are very similar to each other in terms of behavior. They all serve, you know, in a lot of the other seasons, each companion served a different emotion in a different place. And here it seems to me, when I say the same, it seems to me like they're all serving the same emotional purpose, if that makes sense.
I don't know. I think Graham was the greatest companion since Wilf.
Oh, Wilf. I miss Wilf.
Yeah, I miss Wilf. The Doctor Who nerds in the audience will know what we're talking about when we listen to this. The chat's saying Wilf.
Oh,
is
and
great.
Also I cosplayed her, so pretty
okay.
Fucking well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You can see that on my Instagram somewhere.
And what was that Instagram link?
at LeighLahav, which is my name.
Okay. Joe, do you have any more questions for our guest, or we kind of...
Yeah, do you know where to get a good shawarma in LA?
No, I'm vegan, man.
What about a falafel?
Ooh, that I have an answer to. So anyway, in general, okay. Tarzana is a great place to eat Israeli food.
Tarzana?
Yeah, because it just has like a very big Israeli population. So there's a place there called, it's super far from you guys, I think, but it's called Hummus Bar. That's Hummus just Bar? The name, and it's really fucking good there. I mean, there might be other places, just that between you and me, I'm not such a big fan of falafel.
Remind me to go to Hummus Bar.
Yeah. So, like, I crave falafel maybe once a year, so.
Joe, don't be using Siri on the show. That's super unprofessional.
What? She's my personal assistant. Why not?
All right, bud.
I love falafels.
Okay.
That's good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Almost as much as I love a good poop.
Yes. Yeah. I'm more into Japanese food anyway.
I love Japanese food too. Sushi, ramen.
Yes, those are sashimi. Those are names of Japanese
love
foods. Yes.
We're just listing off Japanese foods that we know.
The rice.
All right, Joe, you know what else I love?
Closing out the episode on a high note.
Yes, by plugging.
Finally,
the rest
we reached
the
there, that high note.
Yeah. And let's go ahead and talk about something for the fans who have been tuning in for a little while and want to help support the show in a way that costs them literally 6 cents a day.
Well, I know what you're talking about. You must be talking about the Patreon.
Yes, I am.
Patreon.com/T1Podcast. If you liked what you hear and you want to hear more, go to T1Podcast. If you liked what you heard you want to hear more, go to patreon.com/T1Podcast to help support Lars and Joe, the Lost Boys, or the server dads.
What you get for $2 a month, that's literally 6 cents a day. You have 6 cents a day, guys. Is
I
bonus
have
content.
Exactly 6 cents a day.
You get
in my
bonus episodes. Shut the fuck up, Joe. You get bonus episodes of the show, which no one else in the world gets to listen to.
Except other patrons.
Yes. You get early listening privilege to episodes like this one.
Which no one else in the world gets.
Except for other patrons. And you get a shout out on air. We did all the shout outs earlier today when we were recording with sweet Anita.
I think Rockshell, who just joined the $10 tier, deserves a second shout out.
Well, we gave him one on that episode, but yeah, let's do it here too. Thank you, Rockshell, for joining
the
$10 tier.
Thank you, Rockshell.
And give me your fucking dramatic reading so I can do it. That's one of the rewards for the $10
tier. For the $10 tier, we'll read out a dramatic reading for you.
Yeah, those have been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed those.
A lot of fun.
But yeah, we're just kind of waffling on here. Patreon.com/T1Podcast supports the show. And if you're really more of a kind of a person who'd like to wear the show, you can check out our merch store.
Merch.T1Podcast.com. We have shirts. We have tote bags. We have pillows. We have t-shirts. We have shirts.
I'm actually looking to get some goggles on there. I think those would be handy.
That'd be nice. Sunglasses, maybe?
Just goggles.
Wristlets? Anklets?
Just goggles, Joe.
Merch.T1Podcast.com.
Okay. Do you want to just end the episode there?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
No, I hadn't been talking for a few seconds now. I'm feeling very left out.
Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.